Hi, and welcome to Traditional Medicine Podcast. I am your host, Cara Levick. In today's episode, we're continuing that conversation we started on power. We defined what power was. Power is the ability to hold space for good things to happen. But why is power defined in this way? Why isn't it defined in the way that modern society looks at power? In today's episode, we're going over why these wisdom keepers view power in the way that they do. If this is the first time that you're tuning into this podcast, let me tell you a little bit about what you can expect to hear. Here we talk all things Amazonian and high Andean healing traditions of Peru. For over 9 years, I've been volunteering for various healers, but for more than half of that time, I have spent it with Amazonian and high Andean Kiro healers of Peru. This podcast is all about me distilling all of that knowledge, all of that experience, so that you can feel closer to these traditions. And as always, if you're looking for authentic, traditional, indigenous healing, but don't know where to look, check out traditionalmedicinemiami.com. We work on a very special project with the Kiro community to connect their world-renowned healers with the people who need them. So check out our website, traditionalmedicinemiami.com. And if there's anything we could do to help you, go ahead and send us a message. We'll be happy to connect you. So let's go ahead and continue our conversation regarding power. If you haven't checked out episode 30, the prior episode where we really began our conversation of power, I would suggest that you go ahead and check that out, because we go into how all of these wisdom keepers are seeing the path to power or the path to enlightenment in a very similar way. They identify power to be very similar things. They say it's about radical compassion. They say it's about service to the divine, to fellow humans, to this entire planet. They have very, very similar ways of looking at power and similar ways of describing the path to obtaining this kind of power. Now, why is this the case? How is it possible that people that live in completely different continents, that speak completely different languages, that are from completely different cultures, how are they coming up with the same kind of conclusions regarding power? Well, everybody's tapping into the same truth. Whether they are using meditation, whether they are working with sacred plants, whether they are working with sacred mountains, whether they are praying to God and going up into Mount Sinai to receive messages, everyone has had their methods to reaching these levels. And at some point, these religions, these spiritual traditions had acquired this information. Now, the Amazonian and the high Andean Kiro healing traditions don't have scriptures. They don't have courses. They don't have universities to attend. This is not how you learn, because you're going to learn in the spiritual and the energetic sides of reality. And again, there's no books. We don't have books. We have teachers who know some of the things that you need to do, but most of the things that you're going to learn in these traditions are not going to be here in the physical. You're going to learn most of what you're going to learn in the spiritual realm, in the energetic and spiritual aspects of reality. Now, what's really interesting is that although we don't have scriptures, these traditions, these healers are going on the path to power that has been outlined by all of these different wisdom keepers in other traditions, in other religions. It is the same path, and they happen to be going down this path and really going through that experience without having any kind of guidance from scriptures, without any kind of courses or universities telling them how to walk this path. They are learning in a different way. For the Amazonian and the high Andean Kiro healers, they are learning from sacred beings. This is how they know the path. This is how it's happening, because they are being told, they are being shown how to become a person of power. And they are being trained by sacred beings to become people of power. And they are facilitating this kind of transformation for that healer. I think, understandably so, it's going to be challenging to even imagine what it's like to go and be taught by sacred beings, right? Especially if you've never gone onto the spiritual side of life. I remember the first time that I drank ayahuasca, I was feeling really sick and it was really kind of annoying. So I went to go and drink ayahuasca. And the first time that I drank, as soon as I entered into the spirit realm, I was confronted by a guard there. And the guard said to me, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" And it was kind of scary. I was like, I'm me? And then I kind of felt myself be very, very honest, more honest than I you know, realize. And I said, listen, I'm working on some community projects. I'm not feeling very good. And to be honest, we are really getting our butts kicked out here. It's not even a fair fight. So can you please help me out here? Because I would like to be able to help my community. Long story short, the sacred beings that were there alongside with the wonderful healers that I worked with and alongside the ayahuasca and everyone that came together to help me, the divine and God, everyone was there to support this work. And it was because of the fact that nothing can be hidden that very quickly they were able to figure everything out for me. They were able to straighten things out. They were able to tell me why I was sick. They were able to help me resolve the problem. There was a lot of confusion because with the complication I had, you couldn't see me. No one knew I was even here. It was really strange. It's a whole story that I will definitely tell you all about. But basically, even then, even when there was something that was blocking me, they were able to figure it out very quickly because you cannot lie in these realms. And who you are, here in the physical, you can, you know, your energy is hidden with your body. You're really limited to the expression of your own body, your physical state. But when you are in the spiritual world, you are no longer bound by the body and the energetics, your spiritual essence takes its own form because it's not limited anymore by the physical state. And we have really interesting energetics. Our story, our energetic and spiritual stories are very, very interesting. In the spiritual realm, everyone has access to all of this. These sacred beings have access to who you are. You cannot hide from them. You can't hide who you are because it's not how the physical world works. In the physical world, you can pretend to be someone different, but inside have very different motives. But over there, all they see is motives. All they see is who you are as an energy. This is a world where we can access all of these things. And it is also a world that in order to enter certain places, for example, if you wanted to enter into a heavenly realm, you're not going to be able to do that unless you are of that energy, unless you are a refined spiritual being who has earned that right, who has earned that power, that merit to enter into these realms. And there are guards in front of all of these very sacred places, these places of power. And healers and wise people and those who venture into this world, into these worlds, they understand that in order to be able to retrieve or enter places of power, you have to have that in your own essence. You have to be of that energy in order to be allowed inside of that particular area. So all of the healers, all of these wise people, all of these people that venture out into these worlds, okay, that is something that they do, that have done in history, right? They have to be of a certain kind of energy in order to access a lot of this information, a lot of these places. And so they want to be able to access these places because a lot of these places have very, very good information. Also, a lot of these places have a lot of power, a lot of healing power. And so they want to be allowed into these places. So if you have the right energetics, if you have the right kind of heart, if you are living the right kind of life, if you have earned this right, this power, then you can enter. So everybody wants to enter these very, very sacred places. And in order to do that, they have to acquire power. And they acquire power by practicing everything that has been outlined by these traditions, by these religions, in these scriptures, particularly the ones that are really talking about radical compassion, service to others, this kind of love, cultivating all of these good things. That is what this energy is really all about. Now, for example, say somebody who has not been walking this path, but was very powerful in the human world, in the physical world, which is, by the way, a very tiny sliver of what exists, right? It is only the tip of the iceberg. It is the last step of manifestation here in the physical. But everything else, this entire world, the reality of the universe is not always material. It's much more energetic and spiritual in nature. So say that, for example, someone of power decided to go into the spiritual realm, all right? And they're going to be confronted by a guard, right? If they're trying to enter into really interesting places like heavenly realms and things like that, a guard is going to say, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? And they're going to be like, hey, didn't you see my Instagram? And look how much money I made, you know, and I invented this and I did that and all of that. And they're going to be like, okay, but like, what did you do for people? Did you exploit people? Were you taking advantage of people? Did you lie your way into a position of power, or what, did you misuse power? They're going to know all about you. And if you are not of that energy, they're going to tell you to take a hike. Very simple. You're not going to enter these places. You cannot buy your way into these places. You cannot lie your way into these places. You cannot intimidate your way into these spaces. You cannot gaslight or do anything that you may have done successfully here, but you cannot do it over there. That is why wisdom keepers value power this way, because that is true power to them. For wisdom keepers, there's only one path. It is the path of power. It is the path to enlightenment. That is the only power. Whether it is Christians that talk about this is the path that Jesus took and Jesus said, hey, follow me. Whether it is the path that Buddha took, right? The path to enlightenment. Whether it is whatever it is, whether it's the Amazonian and the high Andean tradition where it's like, you know, get closer to power. They all have very similar roads to attaining power or enlightenment. All right. So that is how it is. That's how it's done. And if you can reach high levels of power, here's why everybody wants it. Because when you have refined yourself to such a degree, nothing is going to come after you. What do you mean nothing comes after you, Cara? What things come after you? Bitter medicine. Oh, well, what is bitter medicine? Anything. Witchcraft. Bad things that happen, sickness, all kinds of different things. Because again, everything that happens around us is only trying to tell us, hey, there's something you need to work on, or hey, there's something wrong here, or something happened because, you know, there's all these reasons why things happen, right? But if you have a level of power where you no longer require any lessons, where you no longer have to clear out any kind of energetic or spiritual issue in your path, right? You've resolved everything. That's kind of what enlightenment is. That's kind of what obtaining power is. You've refined yourself to such a degree that nothing can touch you. You are a person of power. When you have reached these states of power, not only can nothing touch you anymore because there's no lessons to be learned, you are also able to attain very high levels of knowledge. You are also able to attain very high levels of medicine. You're able to do many, many things that only people very close to the source can be able to do. I want to share with you a story in the Bible found in Matthew's chapter 19, and it is the story of Jesus and the rich young man. The rich young man came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, side note, in heavenly realms, it does feel like you live for eternity, but as the Buddhists have pointed out, it's not forever, ever, ever. It's just a very, very long time. But maybe he was referring to heaven. Maybe he was referring to actually reaching enlightenment. I don't know, but I wanted to throw that in there. And Jesus said, you know, are you doing what you need to do? Have you been killing people? What have you been? Have you been a good person? And the young man said, yeah, I'm following all the laws. Everything's good. And so he's like, well, I've done all this stuff. So what am I still lacking? And then Jesus looked at him and said, well, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Now, another side note, he didn't just say, come, follow me to heaven and end the story. He said, you're going to have riches in heaven, and then you're going to come and follow me. So it seems to make some sense with what the Buddhists had said, which is you need to go to heavenly realms and then you need to reach enlightenment, because you have to go to heavenly realms first. And then the next step is reaching enlightenment. So this kind of makes sense with what this verse was saying. And basically the story continues that when Jesus told him, leave all your things, come and follow me. He was really sad because he had a lot of things and he didn't want to part with them. And that's when Jesus said to his disciples that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then his disciples asked him, well, who then can be saved? And then Jesus said, well, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So basically, Jesus was saying, well, God can do all things. So God knows all. God will figure something out. So we're going to place our trust in the hands of God. And then Peter, one of his disciples, said, well, God, look, we gave up everything. So what kind of cool stuff can we do if we follow this path? And what Jesus basically said to him was like, you know, when I am sitting on my throne, you're going to be there with me. You're going to be like my counsel, and you're going to basically get a promotion, so to speak. You're going to have a new position of power. You're going to have more power so that you are able to lead people alongside me. So to bring it all back, this is all very much going on in the spiritual realm. And wisdom keepers know that this is happening because they're stepping into that realm all of the time. And this is very much how things pretty much go. If you are able to obtain high levels of power, it means that you will be able to do very, very good things for the divine, very good things for humanity, very good things for everybody. And again, I told you, to become a healer, you really have to want that service position because it is going to take a lot and you're not going to be there for the glory, so to speak. You're going to be there because you earned it, because it came from your heart. Now, if you don't feel like doing this, you know, if you don't feel inspired to, for example, you know, take care of your community the way that maybe you should, then I would give yourself some grace. I would have some compassion for yourself because we're living in a world that is not really giving us what we need in order to grow into healthy, happy human beings. So there are ways to really kind of desire this when we are healed, but that is always the first step. We have to heal ourselves. That's why the journey to power, that path to power begins with healing yourself. It begins with having grace and being able to get grace from the divine because you need it. And that is what these healers do. The Amazonian healers and the High Andean Kiro healers, they provide people the opportunity. They give people that space. They have that power to hold space for good things to happen so that people can be regenerated. People can find their way back on that path. It's a beautiful thing and a reason why I volunteer for these incredible healers. So just to recap on today's episode, in these spiritual realms, there is order. There are rules. You can't get away with the things that you were getting away with here in the physical. And that world is much more important than this physical one because we are not going to be here very long in this physical. So wise people, they know that and they are seeing the world very differently. They have very different ambitions because they understand this aspect of life. They are working with this aspect of life. They are being taught by sacred beings how to refine their energy, how to be able to help others. And it's a really beautiful path that healers take. But it's really awesome because although Amazonian healers, although High Andean Kiro healers don't have scriptures, they don't read the Bible, they never talked to any of these religions before, they were always on that same path because they were accessing the same kind of truth. They were all tapping into that same kind of truth. The only difference with the Amazonian and the High Andean Kiro healers is that they're living prophets. They are still alive in the scripture. They are living it through experience. They are venturing into these realms and they are not reading the scriptures. They are walking the scriptures with their traditions. It's a very beautiful thing. Very beautiful thing. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. That's the end of today's episode. We're going to continue our conversation about power in the next episode. So that is going to be really cool. Now, thank you so much again for spending some time with me. I appreciate you being here. If you are on Instagram, go ahead and follow us. We are Traditional Medicine Miami. We want to see what you're up to this weekend, what your cats are doing. We want to make some new friends. So go ahead and reach out to us. Also, check out traditionalmedicinemiami.com. And if you want to check out some of those plans, if you're looking for any kind of help, we are happy to connect you and help you out in any way that we can. Thank you again for hanging out. I hope you're having a great day or night, wherever you may be, and that we hang out again soon.